Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, we're going to discuss a thread on a website called TheologyOnline.com, where a believer apparently posted two questions for atheists, and we'll look at just a few of the atheist answers. And then also a report in Advertising Age that Walmart has joined the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. That could discourage some people. It's part of the battle. And when you're in the war, the battle rages around you. So we need to fight the battle and not get discouraged, but to press on. And then also, this is fascinating, mammoths have been extinct now for millennia. They went extinct after Noah's flood in the Ice Age. And a Canadian team of scientists have demonstrated that they could extract DNA from frozen specimens, these frozen woolly mammoths in the permafrost, and they think that they'll be able to inject that into the closest living relative of the woolly mammoth, which is an elephant, and perhaps get a creature that is 50% genetically a mammoth. And that would be fascinating. That'd be great. And then also wanted to talk about two other things. The vast oil deposit found in the Gulf of Mexico. This is good news for America and might increase our oil reserves perhaps by 50%. And that, of course, is dramatic. What do we think we have? Nearly 30 billion barrels of natural oil reserves. And they think that this one field might have as much as 15 billion barrels of oil. That's a lot. And then you have Bill O'Reilly on O'Reilly on Fox News whining about the oil companies making so much money. And that's really basically a liberal socialist whine. The oil companies do more than most industries to provide us with our standard of living. And they deserve to make a lot of money, but this one well, which was a major risk, cost them, what, $100 million? $100 million. And they will have to spend billions of dollars to be able to develop this field and bring the oil to market. So when the oil industry is making a lot of money, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So these are some of the topics we could talk about. And then finally, I also want to talk about a book. What a great book on intelligent design. This book came out in 1802. It's a classic. It's called Natural Theology by William Paley. And his arguments are still right on and powerful. And what's funny is Darwin's book that came out half a century later is now largely discredited by evolutionists, by Darwinists. And they have to correct so much of what was in Darwin's original edition, published in 1859, Origin of the Species. But this here book by William Paley, Natural Theology, Showing the Evidence for God in Living Creatures. This book, according to a book review on this in the Journal of Creation, which is just a great publication. Wow, what a great publication. Journal of Creation. You could get that at creationontheweb.com. And they point out how you go through this book, and it is solid, fabulous science and argument for the evidence for God. Okay, so that's some of the things I'd like to talk about on today's show. And this is September, which is the month for our annual telethon to help keep Bob Enyart live on the internet at kgov.com. And you know what our goal is? $15,000, and so far we have reached $2,650. If the last time you tuned in, we were at $650, so thanks to a large gift from Wisconsin, we are now at $2,650. And if there's anybody out there who appreciates Bob Enyart Live and you like to help us to keep the show going for yet another year on the internet. Please, this is the time to step forward and to let us know you appreciate the show, to let me know, and to help us reach our goal, which is especially crucial this time around. You know, it's more difficult for Bob and Yurt Live to raise revenue than your typical Christian ministry. I'll give you maybe a couple of examples. We oppose public schools, right? And we warn parents that if you send your daughter to public school, she will be sexually harassed, sexually humiliated. They'll ask her for sexual favors. They'll imply that she's having sex with the teachers, male or female. And you don't want to do that to your daughter. You just don't want to do that. And so where most major ministries encourage parents to send their kids to public school, or they make those parents feel good about the decision, or they're silent on the issue. So for us, it's a double-edged sword. First off, so many parents, so many pro-public school Christians who listen to the show will resent our warnings because basically we're criticizing them as parents. If you send your kids, your kids who are minors, not adults, you know, if an adult wants to go to college and study how to be an architect, that's fine. And he's an adult. But we're responsible for our kids and the environments we put them in. And so we warn parents, don't send your kids to public school. The public school curriculum is designed to destroy your child. So a pro-public school mom or dad will hear that, and it's natural then that they would resent it. Now, we hope and pray that they would listen and the warning would pierce their heart, and they would move on it and take their child out of public school and either do homeschool, which is the best, or find a fabulous Christian school. But so many of those pro-public school folks will end up resenting our warning, and so then, of course, they would not be inclined to support Bob and Yurt Live. But that's a double-edged sword, because the parents with kids at home who do agree and they see the wisdom in that, well, they're already homeschooling, which usually means they're a one-income family, because mom stays home to educate the children. Or they send their kids to Christian education, which is Christian school, which tends to be very expensive. And so the parents who send their kids, the Christian parents who send their kids to public school, those parents don't have to pay for the education. They often have two incomes. And so they've got more expendable cash, and they're able to support ministries that go ahead and encourage the godless education system to raise Christian kids. And whereas the Christian parents who realize the danger of the public schools, they have less money by definition. And so it's harder, and the people who support Bob and Yurt Live are among the most extraordinary people I have ever met, and many of them survive on a single income, and they go out of their way to help this show stay on the air. And there are other reasons, too, and we are strongly anti-abortion. And you know what? People get sick of that. I get sick of it. When you get sick of it, if you're in Germany and they're killing the Jews, and they're killing them by the hundreds of thousands, and you just keep fighting to try to get them to stop killing Jews. I mean, it's rough to deal with death all the time. And at least here in America, we don't get killed when we try to stop the killing of unborn children. All we do is get turned off. People turn off the show. So is that all he's talking about again? Killing unborn kids? Come on, Bob, get over it. But we don't get over it. Why? Because they're killing unborn kids. But then you know what happens? A lot of people would rather hear about something like, let's say a debate in the Senate over cloture rule or something. It's like watching a playoff in the NBA. It's like watching the Final Four or something. That's more exciting. Or a primary. Or listen to Rush talk about why the Democrats are idiots. I mean, that's all fun, right? Who doesn't enjoy that? So, but you're going to hear about somebody coming up with a new project to try to stop people from killing unborn children? Man. So that's why it's harder for us to get support. And we're strongly against homosexuality. And here you have Walmart. Walmart joining. This is quite a story, huh? Walmart joins the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, and they hired a gay marketing shop in an effort to get more business from those who would destroy the family by promoting the perversion of homosexuality. So Walmart, they got a lot of money. They got a lot of customers. And just like Rush, you know, he used to be strongly anti-abortion. At least that was his shtick on the air. And the bigger he got, the less he would talk about abortion. And he seemed to be a little bit anti-homosexual 15 years ago, but forget that. Just like O'Reilly O'Reilly, who is totally pro-homosexual and pro-abortion. So it makes it more difficult when you stand for these fundamental issues. And then the final example I'll give, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we are strongly anti-legal positivism. We don't cheerlead for the Republican Party. We don't do that. You know, the Republican Party, if they nominate judges like Samuel Alito, who voted to keep legal partial birth abortion, we say that's murder. That's murder. And most of our conservative Christian associate ministries around the country, they say, oh, no, that's a good decision. Why is that a good decision? Well, he's a Republican judge nominated by a Republican president, and he's faithful to the process. Yeah, but he just ruled to keep partial birth abortion legal. Oh, that's a good decision because of the reason for his ruling. Oh, the reason he ruled to kill kids in that way? That makes it a good decision? Oh, yeah, that makes it a good decision. Oh, so the judges who ruled to kill Jews in Germany, they were good decisions because they were being consistent with precedent in the process? That made it good decisions? No, that made it murder. So when you stand for all these fundamental issues, it makes it very difficult to build a large consensus. The big tent, right, of the Republican Party, that's a little bit at odds with the Lord's narrow road. You got the narrow road that Jesus talked about. Many are on the broad road to hell, and few, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. But the closer you come and the more you compromise with the big tent, the bigger your monthly revenue can be. And so we struggle, but we don't want to cop out. We don't want to give up and go off the air and say, oh, it's because we're saying the truth. Because we're speaking the truth, that's why we failed. We don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And hopefully you don't want to see that happen. So for those people who will support Bob and Yurt Live, you know, you're among the select few who will take the hard position and stick to the truth, even though it's not popular. And if on any issue, if we're wrong here at Bob and Yurt Live, we want to know. I don't deceive myself into thinking, well, the reason we're not on national TV is because I'm so correct. I don't tell myself that. I could be wrong on any given issue. I'm not infallible. But we search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. And we welcome people to come and test us, try us, and present your argument. And we will be ready with an answer for the hope that is within us. So we need your help, and there are two ways you can give it: by calling us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 836-9278, or going online at kgov.com. Of course, if you call in when we're on the air, we get to tell people, and that encourages everybody. And it might encourage somebody else to give a gift so that your gift might multiply itself. So if you could, and by the way, if somebody makes a monthly pledge, our goal is $15,000. So if somebody gives $250 or $1,000 even, wow, that'd be incredible, then that goes right toward the goal. If somebody says, well, I'd rather give a monthly pledge of $50 a month, $100 a month, then what we do is we take that amount and we multiply it by 10 and count it toward the goal. So if somebody signed up a pledge, an ongoing gift for $100 a month, and then cancel it whenever they would be inclined to cancel it, then we count that as $1,000 toward the goal of $15,000. Okay. So let's now, so I talked about Walmart already. So yeah, Walmart has gone this direction, and that's common, right? Institutions, Jesus said you can't put new wine in old wineskins, and even when an institution begins by people who know right and wrong, they found an organization, a hospital, a Christian denomination, or a ministry, eventually it will become worldly and godless, eventually. So that's no surprise. And Walmart is typical of countless organizations. So people say, well, now we got to boycott Walmart. Well, the problem is you got to boycott everybody. So you got to boycott everybody, so you better grow your vegetables on your roof and keep a sheep in the backyard and take its wool and make your clothes. You're in big trouble. And the reality is we can do business with the world. The Bible says we are in the world but not of the world. We often have to do business with people who are sexually immoral. And the Apostle Paul says, he said, I told you, don't keep company with people who are sexually immoral, but of course I mean people who are believers. Because unbelievers, as you interact with them, as you go about your business, of course they're going to be sexually immoral, because that's the way of the world. So our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, that's 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Longmont, Colorado. Scott, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Thank you, Bob.
Sure.
Yeah, I get your monthly videos and love them, every one of them.
So thank you. Thank you so much, Scott. They are really neat, aren't they?
They very much are, and it's nice to look forward to something like that in the mail every month.
Yeah, a great video comes once a month, and you can ask for DVD or VHS tape, and it's, how much is it, $24.99 a month, and so we automatically charge your credit card, unless some people send in checks. That's a little more difficult, but... So they sign up once, and every month they get a fabulous video and a money-back guarantee.
Yes, sir, and so, I don't think I've taken you up on one of those guarantees yet, have I? Maybe I need to do that one of these months. There's got to be one I don't like somewhere.
Well, there might be, but so far, very, very few people have ever gotten their money back, and we have put out thousands upon thousands of products, materials.
Very good.
All right.
My grandson brought up, I sent you an email about wanting to homeschool our grandson, and your office, one of your workers sent a very nice email back with suggestions, so I appreciate that, first of all.
Great.
And he brought a book home, and we read it, because he's in kindergarten right now, and it was something about a snake who everybody who saw she was a snake ran away from her. And then a mole, she met a mole, and the mole's glasses were broke, so they got to be great friends. And then the mole's glasses were fixed.
Were repaired.
Somehow.
The mole
repaired.
Found out.
The mole saw that she was a snake and ran from her. So she lays in her bed and starves herself almost to death. And then finally the mole saw the error of its ways and came back, and they all lived happily ever after.
Right.
So I had to tell my grandson that that was ridiculous for that snake to react that way to what happened to her, and that was a kindergarten book in the kindergarten library.
Right. Of course, we know the moral of the story, which will be grilled into these kids, that their parents could hardly counteract all the destructive influence of a godless curriculum. But the goal is to teach little kids that people who are judged by others, like homosexuals or abortionists, that a homosexual is judged by someone else as being bad or wrong. Don't believe your parents, don't believe your church when they tell you that you should not approve of a homosexual, because in reality, that homosexual is just as good as everyone else. But we all know that a snake, you know, a rattlesnake will bite you. A cobra will kill you. A stingray, you get close to it, you don't take the warning that's out there for us, and it could kill you.
And the encouraging part was when his mom came to pick him up that evening, he grabbed the book and handed it to her and told her about the story. And he said that was wrong for that snake to do that.
That is pretty good. Now, the mom, this is your grandson, Scott. So the mom supports her son going to public school.
Yeah, unfortunately, she's a dental assistant, and she sees homeschool, because we mentioned homeschooling to her. My wife and I did, because we would be the ones homeschooling him. And she's a dental assistant, and she sees homeschooled kids where she works, and she says, they're really great kids. She says, they're turning out really well, so I think there's some hope there for next year after kindergarten to go ahead and homeschool them.
That is very encouraging, and we see that at Denver Bible Church. You know, the biggest selling point at Denver Bible Church is the families, these extraordinary families, almost all homeschool, except for, wonderful kids going to Maranatha Christian Center, which is the best Christian school I've ever seen. But what an example and what an ad, what a billboard for a church, but all the solid families, strong marriages, so that somebody comes to church and they see all the around them examples of how your husband should love his wife and be a good husband, because that's what you see all around you. And kids who are happy, neat, you know, wholesome kids, they're leaders, they're fun to be with, and they interact with adults as well as children. It's really exciting.
Well, you should yell at me on the air for not coming to your church since you moved closer to Longmont. Maybe that would shame me into it.
That's right, Scott. We're up north of the Denver metro area in Arvada.
You're probably, 20 minutes away from us?
I bet.
We're in the south end of town.
72nd and Oak. And let me tell you, we're having our church picnic a week from Sunday.
Well, that would be a great time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and the picnic will be right on the grounds of Maranatha Christian Center. So it will be a fun time. Maybe we'll see you there.
Yeah, well, I'm Whole Armor on TOL, by the way, too, just to let everybody know.
Whole Armor at TheologyOnline.com.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
God bless you. I appreciate you. Okay, now, here's this thread from TOL, and it's titled, Two Questions for Atheists. And it was started, a thread is just a line of discussion. And so one of the members of TheologyOnline.com, to be a member, you just go there. Just go on your computer, go to TheologyOnline.com, and you could start reading and enjoying the forums, or you could just click and join up, register. And so this guy, Damien, I don't know about Damien, I don't know who he is, but he started a thread, Two Questions for Atheists. And he asks, one, why is there something rather than merely nothing? In other words, why is there anything at all? And two, what is the purpose of life? So this other member named Sutg, I don't know who he is, S-U-T-G, Sutg answers the first question, why is there something rather than nothing? And he answers, I don't know and neither do you. Okay, now that's rather presumptuous of him. But I don't know, and neither do you. And two, what is the purpose of life? He says, see my answer above. Okay, I don't know, and neither do you. So hats off then posts. This is the third post, and I don't know who hats off is. But he posted, this was September 6th, 2:15 in the afternoon. Hey, don't you think hats off should have been at work or something? In the middle of the afternoon? Well, whatever. He's on Theology Online. And why is there something rather than nothing at all? And he answers, I have no idea. Now, that's at least an honest answer. I have no idea. And two, what is the purpose of life? He writes, if there is any purpose, and I don't know that there is, I do not know what it is. Okay, so these are at least honest responses from hats off, and at least honest at some level. I think if we were able to psychoanalyze him, and deep down he would probably know there is a God. And if so, then they wouldn't be honest answers. But at face value, at least he's being honest, and he's saying, I don't know. Now, Damien responds back to Sutga, And he quotes Sitka saying, "I don't know and neither do you." And he says, "You are assuming that just because you do not know, no one else does. But this much we do know, that you believe that your life is without a purpose and is therefore meaningless." That was a pretty good analysis, Damien. You pegged Sutge pretty well. And then Damien goes on to say, hats off. He said, "This is an intellectually honest answer." So he appreciates that. Hats off. Says, "I don't know if there's any purpose in life. I have no idea why there is anything, and I don't know what the purpose of life is." And so other atheists will get in there and try to confuse the matter, and that's pretty typical. But that's the beginning of a thread that goes on for quite a few posts, and it's pretty fun. And so you could dive right in. And theologyonline.com, that's a sister website to kgov.com. And it's a ministry of Denver Bible Church. And boy, is it a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So you can check that out if you'd like. Okay, now, to William Paley in his book from 1802, that's still relevant and still solid as an argument from intelligent design to the Creator God. He points out, for example, the membrane protecting a fish's eye and the lens of the fish's eye. And he says that they work together as a set and they're perfectly compatible with the refractive index of light in water. So it doesn't allow for distortion of light. So the fish can see accurately. That's pretty cool. So between the fish's lens and the protective membrane covering his eye, even the protective membrane itself, even the lens itself. And he says, look at spiders. Some spiders are able to actively hunt for their food, and they do so. And the ones that are not made so that they could hunt, they spin the sophisticated web, and they're able to survive. We will be right back.
My name is Tom Healy. I'm 70 years old, retired federal law enforcement from Texas. When I became a Christian, I, like most Christians, was dropped into the details of the Bible, and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in about Joe. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again. This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right. And it agreed with Scripture many times to my surprise. Bob had authored a Bible study called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, which was mentioned quite often on the show. Clergy would call and say, "I've been a minister for 20 years, and after reading The Plot, I now understand the Bible." This caught my attention as I had read the Bible until I was cross-eyed. After the third clergyman called, I ordered The Plot. Hey, it had a money-back guarantee. When I finished reading it, I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Hallelujah, God's word is now clear. To order, call 1-800-8-INYART, that's E-N-Y-A-R-T, or 1-800-836-9278, that's 1-800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com. Thank you very much.
N-YARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about this natural theology, this book from 1802 by William Paley. It's just a fabulous book. I've only read this review in Journal of Creation, but you'll enjoy what more there is. But first, I want to remind you this month, this is our telethon month for Bob and Yurt Live with the goal of $15,000. And so far, we only just started this. We have $2,650 toward the goal. So we have been in Iowa, Iowa is around the country our newest audience because Bob Inert Live has been on the air for 15 years on and off in different markets. And so we're newer to Iowa. So we want to offer the plot manuscript. That's my life's work, a 330-page manuscript presenting the overview of the whole Bible. It's really exciting. It's fun. Here's how I'd like to do it. Normally, that's $49.99 plus shipping and handling. But if anyone subscribes, gets a monthly subscription to Bob Inert Live, either to our videos, our monthly Bible study album, our sermons, or the best of Bob, or makes a monthly pledge, then we'll send you a free plot, the plot. And again, that's worth $49.99. And people tell us for many years, we have now sold thousands of these, that they absolutely love the plot. It's helped them understand the whole Bible. And it's crucial to us to make this goal and to be able to keep Bob Inert Live airing for yet another year and our website going, KGOV.com. So that's the goal, and I hope and pray someone from Iowa, you listening right now, that you will call up and go ahead and subscribe or give a monthly pledge, and then we'll send you out a plot, and you could let us know what you think of it. One of the things I've done for years, it's been so enjoyable, is when someone reads the plot, if they want to share their thoughts, comments, questions, then I set up an hour where we can talk. Normally they're out of state, so we do it by phone. And it's been real enjoyable all these years, and I've been able to take feedback from dozens of people and improve the manuscript. So it's been just great. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or you could subscribe to any of our different services or make a monthly pledge at our website at kgov.com. Okay, this book by William Paley, it came out a half a century before Darwin's book on evolution, The Origin of Species. And while evolutionists point out that Darwin's book has needed to be corrected massively, William Paley's book on intelligent design is just a classic and still relevant in the biggest of ways. And, for example, Paley's book inspired other books. In fact, in the 1830s, 10 volumes came out, known as the Bridgewater Treatises. And some of the volumes were written by leading scientists, and one was William Wewell. And by the way, he is the scientist who coined the term scientist. That's pretty cool, no? And those books were intended to give a detailed study of nature to demonstrate God's existence. And we conservative Christians, we can do that over and over and over again, go through the history of science and show how so many of the greatest, the fathers of the natural sciences, how they were creationist and how they rejected evolution or godless origins. And that's really a lot of fun to do. And we've been doing that for years, going through and showing how the fathers of the physical sciences, for the most part, they have rejected godlessness. And those who have existed after Darwin, so many of them have rejected Darwinism. And it's really fun. When we put together our list of these fathers of the sciences, we put together our own list. We didn't take anybody else's list. And so we went back and we read through the centuries the writings, the original writings of so many of the fathers of the natural sciences. And it was exciting. I tell you, it was absolutely exciting to see how many believed in a creator God. It was just thrilling. Okay, so let's see. In fact, somebody's urging me to give a few examples. Well, how about, here's what I'll do. I'll give some examples before Darwin, and then examples after Darwin. Okay, these are fathers of the natural sciences who reject evolution and reject an atheistic explanation of origins, and they defended creationism. Okay, let's start. How far back do you want to go? You want to go to Copernicus, the father of the scientific revolution, that planets orbit the sun, and he rejected the pagan Greek Aristotle's earth-centered system? That was Copernicus, Christian, creationist. A Francis Bacon, father of the scientific method, rejected natural explanation of origins. Let's see, Kepler, Johann Kepler, father of modern astronomy. He's the one who understood elliptical orbits and the laws of planetary motion. How about Galileo? The laws of falling bodies and the mathematics and Jupiter's moons and the pendulum. And Galileo operated out of a Christian worldview and accepted the notion of a creator. Now, people say, oh, the church persecuted Galileo, but the church had accepted the pagan Greek notion, Aristotle's argument that the earth was at the center of the solar system. That wasn't a church argument. That was an Aristotelian argument. And Aristotle, he presented his argument. He said, look, the sun is obviously light. It's floating up in the sky. And the earth is obviously not moving because if you take a rock and drop it, it falls straight down. So he didn't comprehend. Galileo had to correct him with the law of the addition of velocities. And you hold a rock and the rock is moving along with the earth. So when you drop it, it looks like it's falling straight down because the earth and the rock are both moving. And so Galileo was mocking Aristotle. In his dialogue, he spoke of simpatico. Was that who he called Aristotle? Or basically simplicity or simple-minded. He created a character for Aristotle, and he called him a simpleton. And so the church, just like today, the Roman Catholic Church, has adopted Darwinism and the Big Bang. And they might change because of the weight of the scientific evidence, and they might feel bad that they did not trust the revealed Word of God in the book of Genesis, like Jesus Christ trusted Genesis. So either the weight of the scientific evidence or coming to grips with the Word of God, the Roman Catholic Church, they might repent again. Just like they had strongly promoted Aristotle and the pagan Greeks' worldview that the earth was at the center of the solar system and the sun orbited, revolved around the earth. And then brilliant Christian scientists, men from a Christian worldview, corrected the pagan Greek worldview of the geocentric solar system. So Copernicus and Kepler and Galileo. Then you have William Harvey. He figured out the circulatory system with the heart as a pump and the circulation of blood. That was no small discovery when nobody understood it. He was a creationist. Robert Boyle, father of chemistry, Boyle's law on the properties of gases. Isaac Newton, right? Gravity, that's no small matter. And differential calculus, universal gravity, mechanics, color, of all things. And Isaac Newton, he wrote extensively about theology. Now, we'd have some doctrinal disagreements with Newton, but he clearly worked from a Christian biblical worldview, and we hold that that is fundamentally what gave these men the motivation to study nature, understand it, and break through the centuries-old logjam that resulted from pagan Greek worldview. Right? Wasn't it Aristotle who said that the planets would orbit the Earth in perfect circles? And why is that? They didn't appear to orbit in perfect circles, but he said, you know, it's just natural that they would. That's how they would do it. So it must be a perfect circle. And that caused science to be stymied for about 2,000 years, astronomy. So you got to get to Johann Kepler before the Christians began to correct the fundamental scientific errors of the Greeks. Let's see, what else? Linnaeus, the study of taxonomy, he was a creationist. He's the guy who defined, remember, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species, remember all that? That was Linnaeus. George Cuvier, anatomy and paleontology both. He studied comparative anatomy and paleontology, and he rejected atheistic origins and was a creationist. And how about the father of atomic theory? His name was John Dalton. He discovered 20 elements, and he laid the foundation for the periodic table. That's not bad in the 1840s. And he was a creationist. So then you're up to the 1850s and Darwin, Charles Darwin. Okay, so Darwin publishes his Origin of the Species, and then we have still, there's a lot of science and a lot of fathers of the physical sciences to come after the 1850s. So let's go to the 1860s, Michael Faraday, the father of electromagnetism. And he specifically rejected natural origins and defended creation. He invented the generator, not bad in the 1860s, electromagnetism, made discoveries in chemistry. And then there was Gregor Mendel. Well, he's in the 1880s. Let's go to the 1870s. Louis Agassiz, father of glaciology. He was a paleontologist, a Harvard professor, a geologist, zoologist. He rejected Darwinism. Gregor Mendel, genetics. I mean, they call genetics Mendelism. He's the father of the study of genetics. He's a botanist, an experimenter, the mathematical science of genetics. And he rejected Darwinism. And now there's a guy to give you insight into Darwinism, the father of the science of genetics. That's not bad. And then how about the father of microbiology? Who's that? Louis Pasteur. Bacteriology, vaccines. Pretty neat guy. He put the final nail in the coffin of spontaneous generation of life. And biogenesis, the law of biogenesis, that life comes from life. James Joule, he died about 1889, thermodynamics, father of thermodynamics, along with Lord Kelvin, who was also, between the two of them, they discovered the first and the second laws of thermodynamics. Right? And those two laws can show the existence of God. Because the first law is the conservation of energy and matter. Right? That you can neither create nor destroy energy or matter, but you could transform them one to the other, but you can't create or destroy them. And the second law of thermodynamics, entropy, that disorder, that usable energy decreases over time. So you take those two laws. For example, the sun is burning fuel. And unless you added new fuel to the sun, eventually it would burn out and get old and die and cold. Now, you take those two laws and you say the universe, by the first law of thermodynamics, the universe could not have made itself from nothing. It couldn't have made itself from nothing. And by the second law, it could not have always been here. Because if it was always here, if the universe was always here, it's burning, it's on fire with all these trillions, quadrillions of stars burning in billions of galaxies, then all those stars, all the available energy would have been used up by now. There's no such thing as a perpetual motion machine. Quacks believe in a perpetual motion machine. And so in order to try to do away with God, there are atheists who say the universe is a perpetual motion machine. Oh, really? No, it's not. See, the universe operates by the laws of physics, and by the laws of physics, you can't have a perpetual motion machine. And the universe is not a perpetual motion machine. Eventually, it would die. It would grow cold and die. All of the universe, including every star you now know of, all the matter in the universe would eventually reach the same temperature, and everything would be still and cold, really cold, as in Kelvin cold. You know, Lord Kelvin, one of the fathers of thermodynamics. And so zero Kelvin, that's absolute zero. That's totally cold. I don't know, how cold is that Fahrenheit? Is that 400 and some degrees below zero? That's cold. And so because the universe is alive and ticking and work is being done, energy is being used, it's being burned, then we know that it's not infinitely old. Even Stephen Hawking has made that very clear. He will run across atheists who will say, well, the universe was probably just always here. And he says, no, 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 look at the temperature. There's temperature differentials. Look at how hot the stars are. And what we know is that if the universe was infinitely old, it would all be the same temperature and all be dead and cold. So the universe could not have always been here. So a fire cannot burn forever, and a rock cannot make itself from nothing. Those are two of the observations we get from James Joule and Lord Kelvin, two of the fathers of the physical sciences who rejected Darwin. And this is decades after Darwin wrote. They rejected him and natural origins and defended creation. So a rock cannot make itself from nothing, and a fire cannot burn forever. So the universe could not have made itself from nothing, and it could not have always been here. So therefore, it must have come into existence in the recent past from a supernatural creator. Has to be. Has to be. Scientifically. Logically. People say, I only believe in the physical realm. Well, then the universe couldn't exist. Just like that thread on Theology Online. And not only that, why do you only believe in the physical realm? Because of the laws of logic. Oh, really? Yes. Well, what do they weigh? What do you mean, what do they weigh? What's their temperature? What's the inertia? What is the force of the laws of logic? The laws of logic are not physical. They're not physical. You can't weigh them. You can't measure them. They're not physical. So people who say they reject anything other than the physical universe, the very argument they use to defend that refutes their own position. Because they use reason and logic, and they misuse reason and logic, but reason and logic are not made up of atoms and molecules. An assertion that is true doesn't weigh more or less than an assertion that is false. Why? Because they don't weigh anything. How about the father of modern surgery? Founded antiseptic surgery. You could guess who he is, right? Lister, Listerine. Joseph Lister died in 1912. Now, Lord Kelvin, he died in 1907. Joseph Lister died in 1912. Father, these guys were against Darwin. Father of modern agriculture, G.W. Carver, agricultural chemist, develop new crops. He rejected Darwinism. And these guys, you know, just like Gregor Mendel, Mendelism, genetics, these guys understood more about reproduction than did Darwin. Fathers of aviation, the Wright brothers, inventors, aviation pioneers, first sustained and controlled flights, they rejected Darwinism. The father of space exploration at NASA, Wernher von Braun, although he had been a Nazi, which is, of course, wicked during World War II, but he utterly rejected Darwinism. The discoverer of MRI, who's alive today, von Braun died in 1977, but Raymond Damadian, who invented MRI, he is a creationist. He's still alive. So is John Baumgartner, a geophysical simulator. He's a Los Alamos geophysicist, developed the best tool in the world for studying the crust of the earth. It's called TERRA. And then Creation Research Society has, what, more than 600 voting members with postgraduate scientific degrees, advanced degrees, all young earth creationists. So that's pretty neat. All right. So this guy, William Paley, wrote this book, Natural Theology, and one of his arguments, he said, look, evolution suggests that everything that happens, it happens for the purpose of survival. But yet when animals form, he says, think about the formation in the embryo of some organs or some bones that will be used months or years later. And why would they form? Why would they form when they're not going to come into use for months or years? Because if there was such a thing as biological evolution, which there's not, everything that would happen because it's immediately improving the survival of this organism. And so things come together. What, the bones in your inner ear start to form before you could hear. And things in your body start to come together before they're used, before they're able to function. And why would that happen? That's an example of preparation, which gives evidence of plan and design, intelligent design in biological creatures. Hey, we're out of time. For those of you in Iowa, I'd like to make this offer. If you subscribe or make a monthly pledge to Bob and Yurt Live, we'll send you a free plot. The plot, my life's work, an overview of the whole Bible, 330 pages. I think you'll love it. I think you'll love it. We have always said there's a money-back guarantee. And in the last 3 years, we can't remember. I just asked our office manager, Al Sharon, have we returned anybody's money in 3 years? He held up a big goose egg. He said, zero. Hey, a goose egg, why would that evolve? Why would that evolve? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Evolutionists can't answer that question. They can't answer the question because it's unanswerable. Right? DNA or the proteins to enable DNA. They're both dependent on each other. So there is a God, and we have plenty of evidence we're happy to share with you. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-YARTS. That's the number you can call, or KGOV.com.